Welcome back to Administrative Static, and I think we have a real outrage in this particular one. In a previous life, I used to argue a lot of Freedom of Information Act cases, which are called FOIA. And one of them that I argued was Judicial Watch v. Carey, which was combined with one of our cases, and it was all about what the archivist of the United States has to do when he finds out that a government document has been destroyed or is lost. It says in FOIA that he is to refer the matter to the Justice Department. And the Justice
And then go look in Donald Trump's closet?
Exactly. That is why the archivist in this case, in Trump's case, referred it to the Justice Department. It's cause of Judicial Watch v. Carey, where the D.C. Circuit said you have to do it. It's not discretionary. So what you're about to hear from Jeanine, what that has come out of the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic hearings, is really outrageous when you understand that background of the law. And Jeanine,
it makes you wonder why they haven't frog marched Anthony Fauci out of his home at 5 a.m.
Well, exactly. Well, particularly because it looks like this was modus. We deposed Fauci, right, Jeanine?
That's right.
We were at the deposition. And did you recall what he said about his emails?
He said, you know what?
We were just taking a look at this.
I don't recall the exact quote, but I will find it.
Yeah.
So
he basically said that either he doesn't use it or it was very dismissive, right? And certainly on social media, he said he didn't use social media. And then this comes up. And so two dozen emails have been released from some of our old friends. We know some of these people,
yeah,
don't we?
Yes.
Peter Daszak.
Yep. And then David Morin, who I'd actually never heard of. He was apparently Fauci's senior advisor in NIAID.
It's strange how he's kept managed to keep a low profile
well,
on this.
I doubt that was by mistake. Yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, so I just found what we were talking about. In the deposition, he denied CCing his personal emails on work emails, so keep that in mind.
Okay, good. Go ahead and tell us what's happened.
So Dr. Morin's...
Yeah, but he also said he was not involved in FOIA requests for his emails, including any redactions.
That's right, yeah. Dr. Morin's testified before the subcommittee on the whatever coronavirus investigation task force a few days ago. And as in sort of conjunction with that, had to bring a lot of his emails or had to release a lot of his emails. Now, it's going to be hard for me to pick out the best ones, but like here's one. Okay, this is from David Morin's to Peter Daszak. P.S. I forgot to say there is no worry about FOIAs. I can either send stuff to Tony, certainly that's Anthony Fauci, on his private Gmail, or hand it to him at work or at his house.
But just pause on that. Send it to him on his private
Gmail.
That is unlawful.
Yeah.
You cannot
conduct
official government business on personal email.
You have to print it out and send it to the government. So that is the out you're allowed.
Well, and he said in the deposition he didn't use it.
Right. I know, exactly. But you are allowed that one out, and they didn't do that either.
Well, So then the remainder of that email says, he is too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble. Another email from May of 2021. I suggested Arthur, I don't know who that is, try to interview Tony directly and connected him to our, quote, secret back channel. He emailed Tony a few hours ago. Another one, November 2021.
So the secret back channel sounds like it might be an undisclosed email address. That's what it sounds like to me from that quote.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Jeanine, how about this one? From David Morin's Gmail account, right?
Gerald? Yeah,
yes.
That's what I was
go
about
ahead,
to read.
Go.
I forgot to clarify in my email yesterday that both my Gmail and phone calls are now safe. Text is not, as it can be FOIA'd, as can my government email. So you and Peter and others should be able to email me on Gmail only.
Now, this is also a misunderstanding of the law, because if you do government business—
I'm sure he doesn't understand
the law. But if you do government—exactly. It is a wrongful statement, as Mark and I just discussed. If you do government work on your Gmail, it has to be sent to a government email or preserved for the government. They used to print them out.
And I mean, all of this also, the only conclusion.
Well, John used to print out all of his email, but that's a different thing.
The only reasonable conclusion one can reach is that they were engaged in some kind of nefarious business, because why were they so paranoid about being found out otherwise?
Absolutely. This was an intentional scheme of deception, yeah, is what it sounds like to me.
Right. And he's later going to say that he's paranoid because
yes,
you can say
I'll
anything.
Get to those. So then there are a bunch, tons and tons of emails. Remember to send him my Gmail. Remember to send him my Gmail, not my government email, whatever. They're just countless ones like that. And then, you're right, this is February 2021. You're right, I need to be more careful. However, as I mentioned once before, I learned from our FOIA lady here how to make emails disappear after I'm FOIA'd, but before the search starts. So I think we're all safe. Plus, I deleted most of those earlier emails after sending them to Gmail.
This guy's Gmail account should be subpoenaed by the Congress.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
We have full agreement on that.
Then again,
but can we just back up to that quote? Because think about that. The woman at HHS responsible for FOIA is teaching bureaucrats how to dodge FOIA.
Yeah, yeah.
How outrageous is that? She should be fired yesterday.
Yes.
That's outrageous.
I mean, it's absolutely outrageous.
And, you know, Grassley's a big FOIA guy. He should just do follow-up hearings. Because I will say this. Senate hearings can be more useful than House hearings on occasion. They tend to not be as contentious, maybe.
Well, I think you have somebody like – a lot of times the House hearings, the backbenchers use them as opportunities to sort of make a name for themselves. But if you have a senator who's been up there for 20 years or however
40,
God long that –
40.
That Grassley's been up there, they're taken seriously, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And there are a number of things about deleting emails. There's another one, September 2021, to Peter Daszak. Have a stiff drink before you read, but don't worry, this is the new normal, and there will be no quote-unquote there. I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds kind of ominous.
Right.
And then there are a lot of really sexist emails that are kind of not, paint the picture of a...
Sexist?
Oh, the last ones are all about women and it's kind of sleazy comments about women. And
oh, nice.
So it's a different kind of...
Yeah. But presumably not the FOIA woman who taught them how to dodge
It is. But I learned the tricks last year from an old friend, Marge Moore, who leads our FOIA office and also hates FOIAs.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing to make you hate FOIA like being the person who has to respond to one. I mean, I understand. I'm sympathetic in a limited sense with that, but that's inexcusable that the person in charge of it is doing that. But can we take a step back? Like, why is this so important? What were the things that were being discussed in the public debates that these emails might have related to?
Yeah.
Why was the suppressing of this information relevant?
So it seems to me it's all about the lab leak theory and the EcoHealth Alliance, which was funding the research at the Wuhan lab. So it sort of implicates Tony Fauci and probably some of these other people in the creation of the COVID virus, which isn't, very good for them.
Right. So it looks like, and again, we don't have the full receipts on this, but it looks like there was information in these government emails suggesting that the U.S. government may have been responsible for funding directly or indirectly some of the research at the Wuhan lab, including research and including gain-of-function research that may have led to the development and then ultimately the release of the COVID-19 virus.
Yeah.
It's hard to think of something that would be more explosive than that, or more something that the American people would have more of a right to see in government email than that.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And I have to read this other one because it's so crazy. So this is June 2020 from Morins to Peter Daszak and a bunch of other people CC'd from that EcoHealth Alliance. The FOIAs are dreadful and paranoia-inducing. In the old days, we had to do them ourselves by hand. I mean, finding and printing out thousands of emails coming in and going out, blah, blah, blah. We are all smart enough to know never to have smoking guns. And if we did, we wouldn't put them in emails. And if we found them, we'd delete them.
Says the guy who has the smoking gun.
He missed one.
In my 22 years at NIAID, I have never seen a FOIA that turned up useful information, with implication. It's because we've been deleting all the useful information. I mean, I'm not sure I've seen anything so brazen in.
Yeah, that's pretty brazen. Well, and I love your point that... No wonder these FOIA requests aren't turning up anything useful if you've got the person running it telling them to delete everything before they begin the search. I mean, it's just shocking.
If this is going on at one agency, I mean, I'm sure this is going on at other agencies. I'm sure they're all talking to each other about how to do this. And
well, and if this were going on, I mean, John, you were a civil litigator. What if a federal judge saw this in a case involving a Fortune 500 company?
Yeah, in discovery, it's sanctionable. You'll get fines. You may lose your defenses. All of that. But how about
there'll be implications against you, right? The jury's instructed to make.
They are presumed that anything that could have been turned up would have been good for the person suing you, and you usually lose that issue. And on this, you also get Peter Daszak again, who is talking about he thinks everything's being unfairly done. There's mud being slung, and it's misquoted and out of context. But this is the one I like. He says that these conspiracy folks are just pulling things completely out of context and feeding them people like Rand Paul and other nut jobs. Well, they're Congress. That's who's supposed to have them, and that's who you answer to. I mean, that's who funds you. Again, it's a case of HHS, NIH not stepping up in any way at all to defend an organization they fund that was already under attack thanks to their actions. And what were their actions? Turning over the information. I mean, this is the thing. If it's defensible, defend it. If it's not, don't scream and yell that the people paying your salaries are getting this information. And God knows I am not a great fan of everyone in Congress and think that they might be blowing things out of proportion on occasion. But so what? That's your job.
They're elected, plus Rand Paul's a medical doctor, plus he's been proven right again and again and again on
certainly
these things
now
in the COVID area.
Yeah,
so, I think that they're...
Yeah, I wasn't referring to him. I'm just saying in general, anyone...
Well, where can people find these emails if they want to read more?
Ahead.
If they want to read more about them, other than your Twitter, your respective Twitter handles.
So there was a staff memorandum released by the subcommittee. That's where I got these specific emails.
Which subcommittee?
The Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic.
Okay.
So the memo came out on May 22nd, 2024, and it's called "Allegations of Wrongdoing and Illegal Activity by Dr. David Morin, Senior Advisor to NIH." NIAID, former director Fauci.
And he does say that Tony's was deleted. So this is important information. Go take a look. And we'll be back in a moment.